TalkZone.com.
Let's get back to Barely Legal. Once again, here's Robin Earl and David Spada.
Okay, we're back here. We're back, way back. Barely Legal show here. Tom Flores, Gary Gaetti. A couple of great guests, and of course, my favorite guy on the score will be coming up here shortly. Mike Mulligan.
I thought you were going to say Dan Bernstein.
No, I don't think so.
Let's not go there.
Let's not go there.
I just got back on the score. I don't want to... My holdout ended after 5-6 months.
Yeah, I hear. Yeah, I hear you do some advertising back on the 670 the score.
There's one reason I'm on there. It's Mully and Hanley. That's the only reason. They do a great job on the show. And I like Dan McNeil. He does a good job too, but I really like Mully and Hanley.
Yeah, Mac and Spiggs, they do great work. Hey, while we're waiting for Mully. Fantasy football. Fantasy football.
Are you playing this year or your kids?
You know what? The kids do. I live fantasy football through Preston and Kevin. What a hoot. I mean, kind of got into it a couple years ago. And then last year, I got a lot more involved with it because, you know, I had a phone that could sports tap, a little application that gives you all the highlights, all the stats, everything and so forth to keep up with it. But, you know, they've got these magazines, David, you know, fantasy football, Andre Johnson on the cover. What a stud receiver. I forgot to ask Preston who went first. Was it Chris Johnson or AP from the Vikings? Usually it's running backs that go first.
Right, because you could get
it. Because of touchdowns, yards, rushing, and catching.
Yeah, the touchdowns add up. You put 15, 20 touchdowns on the board, it's huge. And then a couple catching and running.
Wow.
And you know, like you said, the 100-yard games add up. I think I go with Adrian Peterson this year over Chris Johnson, because again, Johnson went over 2,000 yards last year, but I think he's due to basically lose some of the yards with all those carries he had last year. I know he looked like a stud, but Adrian Peterson, I think, is going to eliminate some of the fumbles this year and see a lot more touches with Chester Taylor out of there. And with Brett Favre, a year older, if he comes back, who knows with him.
I was watching the NFL channel here the other day, and I noticed that our guy, number 6, Cutler, was ranked either 8th or 9th is the top quarterbacks for fantasy. But that's kind of down there when you think, well, there are 20 what?
It depends.
Or 32 quarterbacks.
It depends. You know? Are you going to get penalized for interceptions? If you get penalized, then it's probably right. If you don't, he's going to put up a lot of touchdowns in this offense because Martz likes to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Look what he did with Detroit. He had Kitna there in Detroit put up huge numbers. He had Bulger back there in St. Louis. He also had Kurt Warner and Frisco.
Mm-hmm.
He had Smith there, but he didn't look too good. But he had another guy backing up who put up some numbers.
Now, you stuck around a little bit longer than I did at the family night or parent night.
Yeah, stayed for the fireworks.
Stayed for the whole fireworks because you had your kids there. you know what? I just want to thank Tom Finks and his crew and with the Chicago Bear Youth Camps. We went down and we had the kids on the field for about 20, 30 minutes. Wasn't that fun? Watching those kids run around, catch passes, run to the football.
They caught like 20 in a row, those kids.
I know. And, you know, and we had them in the locker room. Chris Haynes, you know, and I had them in the locker room there, and they're looking around and say, wow, this is cool, man. This is big time stuff. So we gave them a little locker room speech. Boy, we had a lot of fun with it.
And then Mago came over and talked to the kids for a few minutes.
Yep.
They saw
Steve came over and said hi to the kids, and, as they're trying to shoo us off. But there's a couple guys there. I don't know if you noticed, they had those couple two big white buckets that were kind of kneeling down waiting for the kids to, you know, get off the field or because they had a little flag football. I've never seen more anal couple of guys. I guess they worked for the park district and I guess they were the grounds crew, but oh, geez. They were about as impersonal as a turd.
I'll tell you what, I brought two of my daughters, the 7-year-old and 6-year-old, with their friend. The 6-year-old was bored out of her mind. Watch, she goes, is it almost over? Because all she wanted to do was eat. Can I get some peanuts? Can I get a hot dog here? I said, that's fine. And then I was bored. My wife texted me, how's it going? I said, I'm bored. I'm watching these guys just do drills. It is boring. But the highlight of the night was the fireworks. And then Staley signed autographs, but Staley upset my 6-year-old because she didn't get his autograph and she was crying. I'm going, oh, here we go.
Oh,
so
boy.
She didn't want anything to do with going to the Cubs game.
Did you have all three?
I had two out of three. My neighbor brought his daughter and she loved it. She really enjoyed it. She wears her Urlacher jersey all the time. She wears a Devin Hester jersey. She really enjoys it. My kids were wearing Rex Grossman jerseys. Everybody's laughing. They go, why do they have Rex Grossman? I said, listen, they were $5 a piece. They could suck it up and wear their jersey.
Hey, took him to a Super Bowl for crying out, good old number 8.
Exactly. But, I mean, it's incredible. But like you said, they got 30-some thousand people there, and it's just the Bears football.
I tell you, we got there a little bit early, and they had these fans, the little fan zone, the kids zone. I mean, I had never seen so much blue and orange in my life. Of course, you know, Bear fans, they are the greatest around. And yes, indeed, let's go to Mr. Mulligan. Mr. Molly. How you doing, Mike?
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Good, Mike.
Good afternoon. Yeah. Hi, David. How you feeling, babe?
Good. I ended my holdout after 4 months.
Wow.
I'm back on the team.
back off the bench there, Mike.
And it's because of you delighted. And Brian.
Yeah, we're really delighted, man.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know what I would do if I didn't hear a David Spada commercial in the morning when I listen to you guys. You know, I listen to you every morning, man. My radio is set at 5:30, right at the score, 670. Here comes Brian and Mike. You guys are the best, man. You are the best.
Very kind, very kind.
But I love that. Yes, indeed. I think you ought to. You need to patent that one. You need to trademark that one.
We'll give it a shot.
So you're going down to Bourbonnais tomorrow or tonight?
No, I'm here right now. I'm sitting outside the dining hall, grabbing some players as they walk by, and trying to figure out what the thinking is and how long it's going to take for this team to come together, and how long they have. You know, that seems to be the mystery here is what happens if things don't work out, and it's all kind of happy, happy, joy, joy, and we'll find out a lot more on Saturday. Yeah.
Tom Flores told us about half hour ago that he doesn't think that this offense is going to take him 1 year. It's going to take more than 1 year for Mike Martz's system to stick, and I don't think this coaching staff has more than a year.
I agree with you. I think that's one of the real interesting elements that's going on here. I mean, they have opted to go with an offense. You know, the quarterback's never played any offense before. Now, he's a real bright guy, and he's figuring it out. The receivers at least have been with quarterback for a year now. But what really I find curious is that they're moving line positions around. I mean, they are really at the end of the year, the line played okay. And they have a chance to come in here right now and just put the same players in the same spot and feel like they have a unit to play together. And instead, they're just kind of moving guys around and experimenting. And it has a feeling, whether it's true or not, of almost a tryout camp. And guys will kind of live and die as to how they behave and how they perform in the preseason. And I'm not sure that we're going to know what this line is. They got to get it locked up. I mean, don't they have to know what their line is going into the, I don't know, third preseason game at the absolute latest, preferably the second preseason game?
You would think so, Molly. And you know what? Got to like Mike Tice's voice. He's got to have the deepest offensive line coach voice I've ever heard. You know, he's trying to coach him up, Coach. He's trying to coach him up.
Yeah.
You know,
he's 6'8", and he's a guy that once as a player, I believe he got the better of Richard Dent in a fight at Soldier Field one time. So, yeah, he's a tough guy, a big guy, and he likes big, tough guys. So the whole idea is to kind of create this wall in front of Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, we'll see how well that works. I mean, you can't run 5 and 7 step drops if you don't have blue tackles, and I don't see it.
No. The weak point of the Bears, the weakest department, is the O-line, bar none, in my opinion. Don't you agree?
I agree. I think the secondary bothers me as well. I'm not sure, you know, if it's all the pulls and the strains and all that stuff. I don't see depth at corner, and I don't see the stability at safety. I frankly am not sure as to what exactly they're trying to do with the safety position. It's a bit confounding looking at it from a distance and trying to figure out why they're running it the way they are. I really honestly don't know.
Chris Harris was on Facebook last night saying he's going to make a major announcement today. The only thing I could think of is he's going to switch going from free to strong safety.
Well, he should. It's ridiculous. Why would he not? Why would they even have that experiment? What was the point of having him as a free safety? That is not what he does. The guy's been a strong safety his entire career. There have been a couple of games where he started at free safety. I believe he started the Super Bowl at free safety because they wanted Daniel Manning down in the box on Dallas Clark. But other than that, I think Manning was listed as a strong safety. He's a free safety. Major Wright's a free safety. I think, you know, Danny Manning could be the odd guy out here.
How's Olin Kreutz? How's he looking?
he looks good. You know, he's fit as a fiddle. I mean, he's really, he's lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. Seems like he's really taking care of himself. And I think that what we've seen thus far is, you know, a guy that that wants to continue his career and wants to keep playing and is kind of had the surgery in the offseason. He's coming back now. You know, you heard Tice say earlier in the camp that that the guy got a little soft and is a little too comfortable. Well, you know, he's obviously not going to be comfortable when the coach is saying that. So we'll see. I think Kreutz is going to be okay.
Of course, you take Garza, they switch him to the left side, and they bring in this Lance Lewis.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I guess as far as I can tell, I think what they're doing is, and again, this is just, no one's told
boy,
me this.
Hey, boy talk.
The left tackle, they need to help the left tackle, right?
If right.
That kid's going to do well. So you need more of a veteran player next to him.
Okay.
Olin then can help the right tackle.
Makes sense.
Or the right guard, I mean. The right tackle's got to be on his own because he's got his own issues. I don't think, you know, he could use some help. They're not going to get him any help. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays himself out of a position. He has no concept, apparently, of a rhythmic count. He really, it's bizarre to me that a guy can jump off sides five times in three practices.
Are you talking about this Lewis kid?
No, Amalia.
Frank Amalia. Yeah, 68. Yeah, I'm staring at him right now. Yeah,
sometimes they go to a hard count, and Cutler's pretty good with a rhythmic count, and it can be a real weapon for an offensive line, unless of course one of the players comes offside, and he's done that pretty much exclusively with the rhythmic count.
He's a reincarnated Dan Jiggetts, it sounds like.
Oh,
my gosh.
Boy, oh, boy.
Woohoo! You remember that, Robin?
Oh, gee whiz. I'm not going to go there. I like Dan.
His issue isn't holding. It's jumping offside.
You said that was his best move, Robin.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, from all reports, Sunday I was watching some of the late sports shows, NBC and ABC, and talking about Greg Olsen. He's having a pretty damn good camp, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, they're working to get him the ball. I don't see him, Robin, lining up a lot on the line. I mean, I see them moving him around a lot and kind of using him in different ways. Mike Martz is trying to be creative about it and using the tight ends a little differently. But really, if you look at what he's done in the past, and I know he hasn't had a guy like Olsen, what he wants from that position is effectively another left tackle. And that's what Brandon Manamaliuna is. They paid a lot of money for him, mm-hmm. and they want him to be sort of an extra offensive tackle so that they can run these 5-7-step drops. I don't know that they need a lot of what Cutler brings to, or excuse me, Olsen brings to the table. So mm-hmm. it'll be interesting to see how it flushes out.
You know, it's amazing. We've been in camp for about a week now. Give us a little Tommy Harris. Do we have the drama queen? What's going on?
No, he's making his practices. By all accounts, he's not lollygagging with any of his training stuff. He's pumped up to be playing with on the same line as Peppers because he thinks he's going to get fewer double teams. And you know, we'll see. I mean, so much of what they do or do not do this year is predicated on Peppers' performance. He really needs to be the player that he can be, and he needs to do it every down. And that's been the rap on him in the past that he's not a consistent player. But they feel that that there will be consistency in his performance this year, and they're counting on it.
I think Chris Harris is going to make a big difference if he stays in the field this year, because from what I heard was when Brian Urlacher didn't know what was going on lining up the defense, Mike Brown was in his ear all the time saying, okay, Brian, don't you want to do this? Don't you want to do this? Basically overseeing the defense. And you notice when Brown was off the field, when he was with the Bears defense, when they had problems, and Chris Harris does the same thing. He says, he tells Urlacher, well, don't you want to do this? Aren't you missing this? Urlacher says, yeah. Urlacher, I don't think he's got the smartest football mind. I think he needs a safety to tell him where to go to line up the defense.
You know, I think he's pretty good football-wise, Urlacher. I think the problem for him has always been the same, which is that he's not the most instinctual player out there. I mean, he obviously was late to the party as a linebacker. I think that what we've seen from him in the past is that his athletic ability, his size-speed ratio is so good that he can make a misstep and recover and be fine and be in the right position, even though he started going the wrong way. Will that hold up? I mean, does that hold up as you get older? You would think that, you know, just a guy at his age and his number of years in and the injuries he's had, naturally would slow down a little, and then that takes away that ability to kind of counter the initial mistakes. But he's got to be very careful.
Yeah. Well, we're looking to a couple of big things here. A healthy Tommy Harris, the Julius Peppers acquisition. Chris Harris is an addition. And now Urlacher is healthy and back. So, hey, you know, who knows? The Bears better win 10 games, make the playoffs, or it's going to be bye-bye Mr. Lovie Smith. Absolutely.
Well, you know, people say that. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I really don't know. You would have thought that there would have been at least some discussion of that last year, and it didn't seem to come to fruition. Yeah. We all saw the big kind of circus at the end of the year, and everybody, Ringmaster Jerry and Ted and Lovie all taking turns talking to everybody, and a lot of things were said that have not come to fruition. And, you know, Ted Phillips talked about continuity and how important it is, and then they ran off the offensive staff and they got rid of Jerry Angelo's guys, and I think it was Football Outsiders put it together a list that they think it's the only time where they fired coordinators and front office people without touching either the GM or the coach.
There you go, Mike. I'm getting a heads up sign here, buddy. Hey,
okay,
thanks for having us on, man. Appreciate
right.
it, Mike.
God bless
all right.
you guys.
All right, guys. Okay, this is the Barely Legal Show. Hey, thank our guests, Tom Flores, Gary Gaetti, Mr. Yes Indeed, Mike Mulligan from the Score Radio. Appreciate it. I'm Robin Earl and my partner David Spade. I want to thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.